Well, greetings this morning in the name of the demon deliverer. Amen?
Amen.
Glory! In the name of the demon deliverer. Religious demons, demons of infirmities, demons of condemnation, demons of destruction. We greet you in the name of the demon deliverer this morning. I'm glad there's fresh grace and power for the people of God this morning, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Paul, for that little children's lesson. My, such deep children's lessons we get around here, huh? Amen. I was thinking about that, brother. Surely it would make a good sermon for us adults. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall call on the name of the Lord as a provider, and call on the name of the Lord as our protector, and call on the name of the Lord as our Savior, and call on the name of the Lord as our deliverer, and you fill in all the other blanks. Ah, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. Praise God. All right, well, this morning I'm grateful to be here and grateful to hear this good report of what's happening out in Michigan. It's so interesting to me. You know, sometimes we study the statistics in the tape ministry. And it's a couple of years ago that we noticed all these tapes going into Michigan. Just, you know, all of a sudden there's way more tapes going into Michigan than many other places. It's interesting to me now, it's 2 years later since that observation, and I just keep hearing of another church being started in Michigan, and then another one, and something's happening over here, and something's happening over there. It's very interesting, those things. Well, it's good to be alive this morning, and it's good to be alive in Christ this morning. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord has laid on my heart to share with us this morning on this subject, shepherding one another. Shepherding one another. I want to speak to you this morning about the disciplines and blessings of having close relationships in Christ Jesus. Close relationships. The disciplines and the blessings of having these close relationships. These close relationships should flow out of tender, affectionate, brotherly love. Tender and affectionate brotherly love. Now, we have been considering different aspects of discipleship on and off for several months now. And this matter of close relationships in Christ is a major part of making disciples and being discipled. I think we already know that. That's not a new statement to any of us here. But as we will see, it is no little commitment to enter in to the commitment of a close relationship with maybe two or three brothers. Oh, it would be wonderful if we could enter in, all of us, to that all together. But as you will see, this close relationship takes time, and you, all of us, only have so much time. But consider with me this morning the subject of shepherding one another in close relationships. This meditation this morning precedes some of the goals and dreams that we discussed in our brothers' meeting. I guess it's about a month ago now. And that subject of implementing discipleship classes and practical hands-on discipleship within the brotherhood. We've been discussing these things. The ministry, we've been discussing them. How can we implement these things? How can we cause the church to draw itself together in intimate relationships? How can we break down the walls of religion that so easily build up between us? How can we ensure that this congregation will not develop into a congregation that gathers together on Sunday morning to hear a good sermon, go their way for the rest of the week, and that's the end of it? These are burdens that we have as a ministry, and I know as a brotherhood, we don't want to do that. We don't want it to be that, even though this is a beautiful blessing to be here on Sunday morning. And we praise God for the preaching of the Word. But there's so much more than that in the Christian life, and we don't want to miss it here. Amen. So, we want to discuss that this morning. The discipline and blessing of close relationships. And I've chosen to give it the title, Shepherding One Another. And that title will explain itself as we move down through the message a little bit. We know that discipline is a stretching godly exercise. That's what discipline is. And the purpose of it is producing godliness in our lives. So we want to consider this morning, the powerful effects of these kind of exercises on our lives. And I want to hasten to say before we move into the message that this has tremendous potential, not only for us as we're sitting here, we're a large congregation of people, but for others who are out in the United States scattered hither and yon, you know, two, maybe three families sitting together in a living room somewhere. This has tremendous potential to take a little house fellowship and birth it into a solid, thriving New Testament church. It has that potential. And may God do that in some of those places. Let's open in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27. Let me give you a little word definition before we read a few verses here in Proverbs chapter 27 about friends. When I considered this subject of having close relationships, my heart was brought to the word friends. And that word is, like many words, has been watered down quite a bit and doesn't have a lot of meaning. But if you look at it in the word, it's a very deep word, the word friend. And studying the word friend in the Hebrew language, it comes from the Hebrew root word to tend a flock. To tend a flock. And so we get the picture there, which is where I got the title, of brothers shepherding one another, of sisters shepherding one another, of that tender care one for another, watching over each other's lives, just like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, that comes from the word friend, not from the word pastor. It comes from the word friend, although in the New Testament, pastor and shepherd are pretty close together. But in the Old, the word friend comes from the word to tend a flock. And so we want to propose to you this morning having a friend or two who can tend your life. Who can tend your life. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Hear these words. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's a powerful word there, friend. And we have the picture there. And, you know, nowadays, It's not done this way very many places, but in Old Testament days, they used iron to sharpen iron. If you want to sharpen one knife, you sharpen two. You just take the two of them and back and forth you went, and back and forth and back and forth as iron sharpened iron. So, a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Beautiful picture there of one brother tending another brother, and that brother tending the other brother. And I think the picture is beautiful because it's not just a one-way thing. No, we're talking about entering into relationships, close relationships, where the one knife sharpens the other one, and then that knife turns and sharpens the other one, and then that knife turns and sharpens the other one. Back and forth, and back and forth it goes. Beautiful picture. Do it, Lord, do it. In verse 5 of the same chapter 27, we find these words, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." Beautiful. Now that's what God says. Now we, from our natural perspective, we would probably not say that. Now, we know that it's right to say it, but I'm talking about deep down in our heart. I'm afraid many times we treasure secret love rather than an open rebuke. But that's not what God says. And notice the context of the next verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds? Wounds? Wait a minute. I don't want any wounds. I mean, tell me good things, but that's okay, but I don't want any wounds. But Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend who tends his dear brother. Her dear sister, faithful are those wounds, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And lastly, in verse 9, look at this one, so sweet. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. What a precious word that is. I mean, that's like perfume. When one friend gives another friend hearty counsel, speaks into their life, when one friend opens up his heart to another friend and says, "Speak into my life," and he does, oh, the sweet smell of perfume and ointment. It brings joy to the heart of the one who has spoken and the one who was spoken to. These are beautiful words that we get out of the Old Testament, just to kind of open up the subject this morning of shepherding one another, having close, intimate relationships with a few in our fellowship. The New Testament word for friend, you can look it up. It is in the New Testament also. It is the Greek word philos, which is very closely related to phileo, which is brotherly love. Brotherly love. So, even in the New Testament, we get the idea of a tender, affectionate, brotherly love. And there's one verse that I'd like to read. And we're just giving a little introduction here, but consider this verse this morning over in 1 Peter. I know you know it. But let's just consider it this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter is admonishing the brethren. He says in verse 22, after speaking about salvation and the glorious things that God has done in their lives, he says these words, "Seeing ye have purified your souls." How? In obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. And what is the result? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So what Peter is saying here is, you have purified your soul, and you have done it by the Spirit, and the result that has come is an unfeigned love of the brethren. You know what unfeigned means? It means not fake. It means real. It means genuine. It means not just by duty. That's feigned love. Well, we got to go over and help so-and-so, you know. Oh, we just got to go do it. And that's just my duty. That's my obligation. Well, that's feigned love. Unfeigned love is not fake. It's sincere, out of a tender heart. And then Peter says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's the tender-hearted, affectionate, brotherly love that we're speaking about. And as we consider these things in the New Testament, in the context of the church, we know that it is so, that God would have these principles flowing and interacting throughout the brotherhood all the time. And I must admit, even as I share it this morning, that my goal is further than just getting two or three of you to get together in intimate relationships with one another, but rather that through that exercise, your hearts would be developed and that would overflow, that more of that kind of interaction would take place among all of the brotherhood and the sisterhood. But this is a step in that direction. That we learn that this is normal to be open and to be concerned and to get real with one another. That's the burden of the message. May I remind you this morning of the secret of the longevity of the East African revival, which lasted 30 or 40 years. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That verse was the secret to the longevity of a revival that lasted for 30 or 40 years in Africa, East Africa. What was it? It was the openness, the humility, and the frank honesty among those African Christians which caused that spark of revival to turn into a flame and burn for 30 or 40 years. Beautiful. Do it again, Lord. They had the freedom among themselves. They gave each other the freedom among themselves in the Spirit of God. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God, they gave each other the freedom to ask questions. And they would meet one another, and one would say to the other, greetings, my brother. Good morning. Do I meet thee praying this morning, brother? Whoa. In other words, are you on praying ground this morning as I meet you, my brother? Is heaven open over your life today? And the other one would not say, oh yeah, oh yeah, if it wasn't that way. Instead, he would say, no, brother, thank you for asking. But I've had some struggles this morning, and this is what I've been facing today. And the other would say, oh, my brother, let us go aside on this little jungle path and get down on our knees in the bushes over here and pray together. And they did it. They did it. They had that kind of freedom. The blessing of having an open brotherhood that they could say, how are you doing this morning, my brother? And everyone knew that wasn't a light little statement, you know. Good morning, brother. How are you doing? Oh, fine. Good. Get that out of the way. Now, nobody knows all the things I'm facing. He asked me and I said, fine. And now we're going on to something else. But in this East African church over there in Kenya and Uganda, it wasn't that way. When they asked, how are you doing, my friend? How are you doing this morning, my brother? They all knew that's not a light little statement. That's not just protocol or etiquette. My brother is asking me, how am I doing today? And I'm going to answer him how I'm really doing. Those kind of exercises caused the spark of revival to burn for 30 or 40 years. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Sometimes in the morning, maybe 6:30 or 7 o'clock, I have occasion to call different brothers. Now, some of them, we've discussed the subject of the early morning and our desire to have a time in the early morning to seek God. And with those brothers, when I call them in the morning, the first thing I ask them after I say, "Good morning, my brother." And they say, "Good morning, Brother Denny." And then I say, "How is your morning? How is your morning?" Now, maybe to some, you might just answer that off real quickly. But to a few that we've discussed these things, it means, "How was your quiet time this morning, my brother?" Or it means, "Did you have any quiet time this morning, my brother?" Or it means, "Did you get up in time to have any quiet time this morning, my brother?" It means all of those things. And what a beautiful thing to be able to say, "Good morning, my brother. How was your morning?" And to hear my brother on the other end of the phone say, "Oh, praise God, it's been a beautiful morning, glory." What a joy to hear such words on the other end of the telephone at 6:30 in the morning. That's what we're talking about. How was your morning? I'm reminded this morning also of the old Methodist disciplines, if you will allow me to use the Methodist this morning. They had a few things way back there about 250 years ago that we could use a little of, and since they had something we could use, we'll use them this morning. The old-time Methodists, they had a discipline. You know, they had the little societies where they gathered together between 10 and 15 people who met together in certain localities. And there was a society leader over these little localities. And these 10 or 15 people, if they wanted to join one of these societies, they had to agree to submit to the Methodist discipline. Remember, the Methodists were called Methodists because they had methods by which they sought God together. That's where they got their name. And so, if you wanted to join one of these societies, you had to submit to the Methodist discipline. Listen to some of the list of the Methodist discipline. You must be willing, number one, to open your life to others in your weekly society meeting. Number two, you must be willing and to allow accountability in your life. You had to be willing for other people to speak to you, to speak into your life and ask you how you're doing. Here are some of the questions that they ask each other regularly on a weekly basis. And by the way, if this isn't done in the Spirit of God, it's a big flop. But it was done in the Spirit of God in the early movement of the Methodists. Questions like this: what have you faced this week? What have you faced this week that you couldn't handle? Open up your heart and say it. Where are your battle fronts? Behind the scene, on the inside, in your mind, in your heart, where are the lines of the battle drawn? My brother, my sister, did you lose fellowship with God this week? And if you did, what happened? Good question, huh? Did I lose fellowship with God this week? What do you mean by that? I mean, did you walk with God this week? And if you didn't, why didn't you? Oh, okay. All right. How was your quiet time this week? Did you have one? And how was it? And could you share something with the rest of us that you got out of it? Here's another one. Did you share the gospel with anybody this week? If you did, share it with us. In brief, share with us the account of that person that you shared the gospel with this week. That those were the Methodist disciplines, and there are a few more, but I just scratched a few of them down that I remembered in my mind. Tremendous disciplines, brothers and sisters, but tremendous benefits also. I do believe this morning that two or three brothers or sisters can enter into a relationship together, an intimate spiritual relationship which fuels the fires of continuous revival and stirs each other on to love and obedience to God and His Word. That can happen with two or three who say, okay, let's do it. You and me, let's do it. Let's get honest. What do you say? Okay. No more games. No more pretense. No more hiding. Let's get real with each other. What do you say? Amen. Let's do it. Do you know that's what the Holy Club was in Wesley's day? That's what it was. Just a bunch of young university students that were full of zeal and had very little knowledge. But they said, hey, let's get together and exhort one another. Let's get together and keep each other accountable. Let's get together and pray and seek God together. What do you think? Amen. Let's do it. Well, I do believe that two or three brothers or sisters can enter into a relationship like that and fuel the fires of revival back and forth and back and forth in each other's lives. Recently, a brother was sharing with me his newfound freedom, victory, prayer, and joy in the Christian life. It was so sweet to listen to him. He just said, wow, I mean, heaven is open and prayer is so easy. I find myself laying on my bed at night and I start to pray, and before the next thing I know, I'm gone. I'm just caught up into glory and I'm praying and I'm crying. And he was sharing all the glorious freedoms that are flowing in his Christian life. And he said to me, Brother Denny, does this thing keep on going? In other words, how much can I count on this? This is really a blessing. I looked at him and said, dear brother, welcome home. This is the Christian life. This is it. This is walking with God. That's what Christianity is. Yes, it can continue. Most definitely it can continue. You don't have to ever have to leave that thing behind again. Can I expect this thing to keep on going, or will it settle? How would you answer him? How would you answer him out of the experience of your own life? Will this thing keep on going, or is it going to settle? The answer is an emphatic no. It doesn't need to settle. This is the fruit of fellowship with God. But you need some accountability. That's what I told him. You need some accountability. You just go off all on your own. You need accountability. You need to be in a place where you can open your heart. You need to be in a place. You need to have some relationships where it's safe, where you feel safe, and you can be open and real. And I want to say this before we look at some practical points. Let us remember what the goal is. The goal is, let us fellowship with God together. That's the goal. I'm going to be accountable to you. You're going to be accountable to me. Why? So that we can fellowship with God together. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The goal is not to catch my brother going wrong. That's not the goal. But rather, we are helpers together of your joy, like Paul said. Helpers together of your joy. Hey, I found a gold mine. Hallelujah. Somebody help me keep it. Well, I found one too. I'll help you keep yours. You help me keep mine. Amen? Deal. Let's do it. Helpers together of your joy. That's the way Paul looked at it. He wasn't a policeman walking around looking to catch somebody doing something wrong. Amen. 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 Well, what kind of commitment does that require? Let's look at a few practical things here this morning. As we look down the road and say, yes, Lord, we want this in our brotherhood. We really want these kind of things, Father. What kind of a commitment is it? First of all, it is a commitment to honesty. I will share where I am at. I'm not going to cover. For he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We all know that the devil does not want you to open up and speak where you are really at. He wants you to keep quiet about it. And his goal is to keep you so quiet about it that you'll feel very alone about it. And as you feel alone about it, he will push you aside and he'll get you to the edge of the fellowship. He'll put you on the back bench like a spectator sitting there on the back looking in but not entering in. And once he gets you to the back bench and he gets you into that spectator mode, then his next move is to get you outside of the door. He wants to get you by yourself. Why? Well, like any other good wolf would do, once he gets the sheep by itself, then he has a meal. So, we don't want that. So instead, we're going to say who we are. We're going to say what's been going on inside of the heart. A commitment to honesty. Number two, a commitment to accountability. I want to answer to someone. I want to answer to someone. I recognize the blessed protection of answering to someone. I give you the freedom to ask. I'm going to open my heart to you and let you know where I'm at. And then I'm going to count on you and give you the freedom to ask from time to time where I'm at. A commitment to accountability. Number three, commitment to watching and being watched. And it's a two-way street. And may I say, the picture here is a shepherd tenderly watching over his sheep, not a policeman standing with a club in his hand, watching to catch somebody who did something wrong. It's a tender shepherd watching over his sheep. Remember, we're shepherding one another. We're not looking for policemen. Watching and being watched. A two-way street. Some time ago, a pastor called me with a problem with one of his church members. He had a member in his church, and this is out of our context, and praise God, we don't have to deal with televisions and things like that, but this pastor was dealing with one of his church members who was watching all kinds of things on the television that he shouldn't be watching, and it was affecting the whole family, and the wife was burdened about it, and the pastor was burdened about it, and he called me on the phone and said, Brother Denny, what do I do? Well, I guess I didn't think very much. Before I answered him, I said, well, brother, just go sit down in his living room and say, my dear brother, what are you doing watching these things on the television? He said, brother, you don't realize I could never do that. We don't do things like that. He would just simply tell me, that's none of your business, Pastor, what I'm watching on my television set. You preach your sermons on Sunday morning and I'll take care of my life. And that is the typical mindset in many, many churches today. But we don't want that kind of a mindset. We don't want that. You know? Oh, I like the preaching, but leave me alone. We don't want that. Number four, a commitment of time. A commitment of time. To shepherd one another, to enter into a close relationship with two or three brothers or two or three sisters, it will take time. You can't get away from that. No time, no discipleship. So, you must be willing to get together regularly, not just drop in at church and say, so how's it going? Amen. Amen. See you next week. But a commitment of time. Deeper than that. Phone calls. A little time of prayer together. A little time of sharing. A time of opening your heart one to another. Private prayer for that person. Maybe even some study in the Word to share with my brother as I tend his flock. Time. Number five, a commitment to pray for each other. A commitment to pray. I know we say, let's pray for one another. And that's good. And we do. We hear somebody who has a burden. We pray for them. But in reality, there's not a whole lot of prayer gets done crisscrossing like this between the brothers and the sisters. We're talking about a commitment to pray. Okay, my brother. Yes. You. It's you and me. It's you. It's you. It's me. Let's go for it. We're going to pray for each other. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to, in the early morning hours, though I have many things to pray about, you're on my list. Now I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lift you up to the throne. You can call me on the telephone. And let me know what you're facing. And I'll pray for you. I will. I take that upon myself. I'm willing to do it. That's the kind of commitment we're talking about. Number six, a commitment to get in the Word. So that you can share with one another when you do get together. A commitment to get in the Word. And I mean get in the Word because you need to be there. But I mean get in the Word. Maybe your brother is facing some struggles. Maybe he opened up to you last week an area of need in his life. And you went to the Word and you searched out some Scriptures. And you have those Scriptures to lay before him the next time you see each other face to face. And you can say, my brother, I've been considering the things you shared last week. Here are a few verses that the Lord laid on my heart. Take them home. Go read them. Study them. And ponder them. And let's talk about them next week. What do you say? Amen. A commitment to get in the Word together. Verses to memorize together. Or whatever. And number seven. And that'll be the last one, although I think there are many more. A commitment to speak the truth in love. A commitment to speak the truth in love. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth about me. I'm going to tell the truth about you. I'm going to tell the truth about what I'm facing. I'm going to tell the truth about what I see in your life. A commitment to speak the truth in love. And by the way, that verse is found in the context of Ephesians chapter 4, where it speaks of growing up into Him. And again, that's the goal. We want to grow up into Him. So you help me grow up into Him, and I'll help you grow up into Him. That's the commitment we're speaking about here. When I see a need, I'm going to speak about it. When I am questioned, I will answer it forthrightly. When I share an area of need in my life, I'll be honest about it. A commitment to honesty. Now, what are the blessings that come from this? Let's consider them just a little this morning. First of all, a blessing of abundant grace. Because He gives grace to the humble, doesn't He? So we know, because we understand these principles, we know if we find ourselves a brother or two, or a sister or two, and we enter in like this, with this kind of a heart, there will be some humbling in our relationship. But that should not scare us, because He giveth grace to the humble. That's what He does. He gives grace to the humble. And that's a beautiful promise in the Word of God, isn't it? Some years ago, I preached in a little church in Virginia. And I think there was about 100 people in the little congregation. And a revival sermon was given on Sunday morning. And an invitation was given. And half the congregation came up to the altar. And I thought to myself, now what do I do? There's nobody here to counsel these people. There's 50 people at the altar and there's 50 people sitting in the pews. And very quickly I just dismissed the 50 in the pews and kept the 50 that were at the altar and had them sit down in the front rows. And I told them, okay, here's what we're going to do. You know these verses over here in James chapter 5? Do you understand these verses? Let me tell you what they mean. These verses are speaking about opening up and sharing the needs of your life with one another. We're going to do that here this morning so we can pray one for another. Who will be first? And one stood and shared, and the next, and the next. And to their much surprise, as they opened up their heart and shared their needs, they just began to break one by one. They broke and began to weep as they opened up their hearts. And then the others began to weep with the one that was weeping. And they started praying for one another. And an hour and a half later, we finally went home. What a sweet little revival we had. That's what we're talking about. Abundant grace was poured out on that little church from one little exercise in what we're speaking about this morning. And then we had a meeting that evening, and you know, the whole atmosphere of the meeting was totally changed just from that one little Sunday morning service. And the whole atmosphere of your life can be totally changed through some of these exercises. Number two, blessings that come from this sanctification. You will be healed. You will be healed. The Bible says you will. Pray one for another that you may be healed. You will be healed. Sanctification will take place in your life. Areas of need. You will find victory. You will find yourself saying, I can't believe it. It's gone. Like one brother said to me recently, Brother Denny, it's gone. The whole thing's gone. I have no more temptation in that area at all. Amen. Praise the Lord. I rejoiced with him. Well, it was a surprise to him. You know what happened? He did this. He had no idea the grace that would flood into his life. He had no idea the deliverance that came. Victory. Sanctification. Number three, personal, spiritual success. You will gain new ground in your life. You will overcome sin. Personal, spiritual success comes by humility and accountability, doesn't it? Growth in personal ministry. As you begin to share one with another, you begin to grow in your personal ministry. You will find out that God will even pick you up and give you something to say to your brother whom you have agreed you will be accountable with and to. You will find that God will give you something to say. You will find that God will use you, even you, and you will begin to grow and mature in your own personal ministry. We mature, and our ministry matures as we exercise ourselves. And this is a great benefit which will raise up many, many leaders in the future. Number five, blessing. Protection from who knows what? Just protection. Keep you from all kinds of evil and temptation. Just having that kind of accountability will protect you from who knows how many different things. You'll never know because you'll never face them. But I'm telling you, you will miss them. It will protect you from evil if you will do it. Number six, and I guess there are seven of them. I didn't realize that, but there's seven of them. So that's good. That's well balanced. Way less failure. How many would like a little less of that? Way less failure. You see, when we counsel and we question and we dialogue with our brother or our sister and we open up, and we acknowledge things we're facing, And we ask for prayer about decisions that we're making. And we share one with another. And we have some hearty counsel. You know what hearty counsel is? That's heartfelt counsel. That's counsel out of a heart that is concerned. From a friend who's committed to shepherd my life. Hearty counsel. You will make way less mistakes. We could all use some of that. Amen. And number 7, you will receive deep help from those who know you well. It's one thing to throw a few words to somebody for some guidance and counsel, somebody who doesn't really know what you're really facing. It's totally different if you throw those same words of question to somebody who knows who you are. You receive deep help because they know who you are. Let me give you a personal testimony. It's a few years ago now. I can't remember when. But it's a few years ago that Brother Gerard and I agreed. We entered in to this together. And we said, okay, brother, let's do it. Let's do it. You, me, let's do it. You ask me, I'll ask you. What do you say? Okay, let's do it. Amen. It was a few years ago that we agreed to do that. There have been many painful, humiliating experiences since that day. And probably more for me than for him. Many painful, humiliating experiences. But I treasure every one of them. Here's some of the list that we go down. How have you been spiritually? How have you been doing spiritually? Are you getting through to God in your quiet time in the morning? Or are you just going through the motions and putting in your time? Ooh, good question. Are you getting through to God? Are you having quiet time? Well, Brother Gerard, you see, it's lawn furniture season. And you know how lawn, you know, it's just a busy time, Brother Gerard. You see, I know, Brother Denny. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You know, he didn't have to rebuke me one word. He didn't have to say one word of rebuke. I'm already rebuked. 2 months later, my brother, how are you doing? Where are you reading in the Word these days? Well, you see, Brother Gerard, it's May, and I'm so busy in May. I mean, I'm working. Oh, that's right, brother. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. No time. No time alone with God. How can this be? How can I answer these questions like this? I'm not answering questions like that anymore. What are you reading these days, Brother Denny? What's God been showing you in the Word? How much of the Word have you been reading lately? Are you memorizing any verses? How are you and Jackie getting along? What can I pray with you about, brother? And what are you facing for struggles in your life these days? Many painful, humiliating experiences, but I treasure every one of them. I treasure them. Because you know what? It cured me. I don't miss my quiet time. Ever. Ever. It cured me. Brother Gerard's going to call. And I'm not going to tell him I've been making too many picnic tables again. I'm not going to do it. Because he's going to call. And he'll be so sweet and kind, he won't even reprove me. And I'm not going to answer that again. The goal is to foster a fellowship of committed believers where questions like these are asked back and forth. And we want to hear them. We want to hear them. Amen?
Amen.
You meet our brother in the morning and we say, "Brother, did you have any quiet time this morning?" "Oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't." "All right, I'm praying for you. I'm going to pray this thing through for you. I want to see you get on the other side of this one, brother." "Okay. So do I." Consider a few of these little phrases in the New Testament. Admonish one another. Provoke one another. Encourage one another. Forbear with one another. You have to do that. Consider one another. That's watching, by the way. Pray one for another. Forgive one another. As I said before, this is a Spirit-filled exercise that we're presenting to you this morning. It has devastating results if done in the flesh. Devastating results. If it's done in the flesh, it won't be done right. If it's done in the flesh, you'll probably twist the truth and lie. And you just bring all kinds of more troubles and turmoils into your life. But if it's done in the Spirit, it's very good and is very healthy. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4 in closing. Something I discovered as I was studying and meditating on this subject. And God is so good to make our concordance work as we are meditating in His Word. But the Lord brought my mind to the verse, you know, there in Genesis chapter 4, where God was trying to bring some accountability on Cain. And God had seen that Cain had slew his brother, Abel, and that Abel, the voice of Abel's blood was crying unto God in heaven. And God came to Cain and said, "Where is thy brother Abel?" You know the little phrase? And Abel said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord brought that little phrase to my mind. Am I my brother's keeper? And I'm going to give you a little bit of thought on it this morning. Don't amen me too quick. But then I turned to Genesis 4 and I saw another word in the same chapter. It's the same word in the English where it says, "And Abel was a keeper of the sheep." So I went to study the Hebrew word to see if they were the same or if they were different, and they're different. The word "Abel was a keeper of the sheep" is the same Hebrew word for "friend" that we read in the book of Proverbs. Abel was a friend of the sheep. It's the same word in the Hebrew. Same word. Then I went to the word "keeper" for Cain. And by the way, Cain said those words in the bitterness of his soul. But here's what the word meant when I looked up the other word. It means to hedge about with thorns, to guard circumspectly, to look narrowly, to observe as a watchman. And as I meditated upon that, and I looked back at the word "friend," and I pondered how a tender shepherd keeps his sheep, and I pondered the words of Cain, and I realized that those are totally different experiences. God wants us to be a keeper of the sheep, like Abel was, but not my brother's keeper, like Cain spoke. The difference is, one is a tender, affectionate brother. The other is a critical policeman. That we don't need. None of you need a policeman watching over you to see when you're going to do something wrong. That's not the spirit of what we're talking about today. And I'm afraid many times that has been sold and practiced in the name of brotherly love, when in fact it was more like, I am my brother's keeper and I will watch over him to see if he's going to do something wrong and see when he changes his shoes or whatever else it may be. No, no. I am my brother's shepherd and I will tenderly be a helper of his joy. We have come to the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus together. We have come into the reality of an open heaven and a walk with God. And we want to walk with God. And I'm going to be a helper of his joy. And he's going to be a helper of my joy. And from that tender shepherd's relationship and that kind of a heart, I'm going to watch over my brother. And I'm going to say to my brother, dear brother, come watch over me. Please, watch over me in love, in tenderness, in carefulness, with encouragement and strength. And yes, wash my feet from time to time, like Jesus washed the disciples' feet, with love and humility and brokenness. This is what we're speaking about when we speak about shepherding one another. A tender, affectionate brother, not a critical policeman. Because again, I say, this is a spiritual exercise. I know that some of you probably in this room have had some bad experiences in this, on the other side. But I want to encourage you, there is a right principle of caring one for another. And we don't want to miss that. In closing, I'll give you another testimony of two brothers that I know who live a ways from here. A pastor and a faithful brother in the church. These two men locked hearts together over their sincere desires to do just what we've been speaking about this morning. And the pastor said to the brother, and the brother said to the pastor, let's do this. You me. Huh? You keep me accountable, I'll keep you accountable. Let's seek God together. What do you say? Amen! Let's do it! Glory! And they agreed. And they started meeting together once a week. The pastor and one faithful brother in a very carnal church setting, by the way. They met once a week. Soon revival broke out among the two of them. Sweet, open fellowship began to prevail in their little sessions that they had together. The times of prayer grew longer and longer. And all of a sudden they realized, whoa, 2 hours went by. We started to pray together and 2 hours went by. Glory, wonderful, beautiful things began to happen between the pastor and the faithful brother. The Word began to open up to them. They began looking into its pages, seeing beautiful things, dreaming dreams and seeing visions of a church way beyond what they were living in there in that city where they lived. Soon, they outgrew that loose, carnal church, this pastor and this faithful brother. Soon, they started sharing what God was doing among the brothers and sisters at the church. The brother, as he visited with different ones, and the pastor, of course, he had the pulpit on Sunday morning, and he started unloading and overflowing these beautiful things that was happening in his life and with this brother, and he was inviting others to join, and this is wonderful, and I'm having victory over sin in my life. And he started talking like this in the congregation, and the congregation went, whoa, no, what is this going on over here? We have a couple of fanatics turned loose in our church. What are we going to do? And they started resisting, and finally the pastor resigned because he didn't want to make a bunch of trouble. He resigned. And this brother, he also decided, This is not the place for me.
And so there they were, just two men and their families. And they said, what are we going to do now? Hey, let's just meet together. Hey, come over to my house on Sunday morning. These blessed things we've been having on Tuesday afternoon, we'll have them on Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. Let's do it. Come. And they started getting together on Sunday morning like that. That was a year ago. Today, there's 150 people that joined them. 150 of them. Because the fellowship was so sweet that somebody else wanted to come, and somebody else, and before they knew it, they outgrew the living room, and before they knew it, they were having to rent the fire hall of the local fire department because they had no room for the other. 150 people gathering together. Oh, just one pastor and one brother who said, let's do it. Huh? What do you say? What do you think? Amen. I'm for it. How about you? Let's do it. Brother to brother. Committed? Done. And they started. And beautiful things begin to happen. And there's a church there today. It's there today. What do you say? May I propose to you this morning, this is something for you to fast and pray about next week. Amen. This. Lord, give us this. May I say this also? Most of what I've just covered this morning could be given in a whole nother sermon about husbands and wives. Couldn't it? Could you give the whole thing all over again with husbands and wives? And then, if that wouldn't be enough, we could go around one more time and do it again with fathers and their young people in their home. You could do the whole thing all over again. Shepherding one another. The principle of having deep, intimate, spiritual relationships of blessing and accountability with one another. That's something we need. Let's go for it. Brothers, sisters, let's get it. Let's have it. In Jesus' name. Thank you for listening.
Do you want it? I do. I don't believe that God ever intended for us to try to work it all out on our own, did He? I'd have to say I was deeply challenged this morning. And a longing stirred in my heart for what Brother Denny shared with us. But you know, it takes time. And that's one I haven't mastered yet. I'm looking to the Lord and I'm trusting that He'll lead us. But it takes time. And readjusting our priorities. But I want it. About you. Fellowship with God together. Not just off by ourselves somewhere. Together. Yeah, I'd have to bear testimony that that is so true. I just experienced yesterday just a little taste of being able to sit together with a brother and share some of the deep things that were going on in my heart and just to see how that God can use those things to change our outlook, just to change and even gives us faith as we're able to open up and share one with another. I just need to share with you all that I don't always have my quiet time. I fail in that area. And I don't pray for you like I should either. I fail in that area. I feel very challenged and convicted this morning, but I do want to open my life up to any one of you. I just trust that I can be free enough and be in the right frame of mind and the right spirit that you can feel free enough to come and speak to me and sharpen me as you see I have need. Is there someone else that would care to share this morning? You have a testimony or a confession, something God laid on your heart, something God's been speaking to you about that you'd like to share with the congregation this morning? If you do, raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you. You can share. In the back there, Brother Tom.
I believe we've heard God's heart this morning through the messages, not just Brother Denny's message, but all of them. And I have been blessed and challenged and encouraged through all these. I need and desire the discipline, commitment, and accountability of the close relationships and open relationships Brother Denny talked about. I think we all need that. I'm very encouraged by the direction of our New Testament church. Praise the Lord. And Denny mentioned about being on the front bench. Well, I know I can't be there every week, but in my heart and in my spirit, I desire to be there. The other thing is, let's get real with God. I know I haven't been real with God. I confess that. My quiet time has been pretty bad. I need you all. I want to be a blessing to each of you brothers. But it begins first with God and in the home. I appreciate your prayers. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to just confess that this is a great need in my life. I just appreciate the message very much. It is something that's very close to my heart, this discipleship issue. And I feel like the Lord has answered my prayer in this area. I know that I feel like we as a congregation have been wrestling with this discipleship issue for a long time. And I always felt like there was something missing in my own vision or in this area. And so as Danny began to share this morning, I listened very closely, and it was exactly that which the Lord showed me just a week ago. I feel like the Lord gave me one word this past week and showed me what that meant or how that should be worked out as far as discipleship among us. And what I felt like God was speaking to my heart was that there is no discipleship without relationship. And that we can try to put cell groups together, or we can try to put little Bible study groups together. And in the past we've done some of that, but we missed something. And I don't just want to put another method into practice. I don't just want to see us to try another method, but that something different must happen, and it must be a spiritual thing that will happen. And what I saw in my own life was that I could take some brethren and I could take specific interest in them, and that we could keep each other accountable. No, I might not be able to visit them each week, but I do have a phone and I can call them each week, several times a week. I can know where they are. I can know what their work schedule is. I can know what they're facing. I can know what they're wrestling with. And if I'm in touch with them continually, that will be discipleship. And that is the cry that I'm hearing from the brothers here, is they want that kind of relationship. That's what I felt the Lord gave me a week ago. So I was very interested in what you shared this morning, Brother Denny. And my heart says amen. And I agree very much with it. And pray that God would continue to lead us to work it out as a brotherhood and fellowship.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. In the back, Brother Jay.
I praise the Lord for the timing of this message this morning. We were not at the last brothers meeting when this came up, but the Lord has very much laid this on my heart, specifically in the last few weeks. Even while we were away in Iowa, and I determined in my heart before the Lord that I wasn't going to wait till someone came to me. I was just going to move ahead and trust the Lord for some men to get together. And I have not been surprised in the way that the Lord has been answering that prayer over the last few weeks and the circumstances that have gone on in my life. Just this past week, I've been reading a book, As Iron Sharpens Iron. It's all on mentoring. And I just got so excited all over again. Now I come here on a Sunday morning and just hear it capsulized. And I believe this is the right time from the Lord.
Amen.
And may the Lord give us unction and dedication and commitment to go forth in the way that He will lead us as we seek Him in this area. For me, the key was not waiting and just saying, Lord, I'm just going to trust You to get together with some brothers. And the Lord has already done that. It's beginning. And I just want to encourage others of you to just lay it before the Lord and say, yes, this is something we want to trust You with.
Down here, Brother Aaron.
I thank God this morning, Brother Denny, that You've allowed the Lord to use You to speak to our hearts in this way. It's been a burden on my heart for quite some time. And I believe it's very key to our spiritual prospering and groweth as a fellowship. And I know that I need it in my life, and it's an area of desire and need in my life, and I desire it for all of us. One of the things you mentioned, Brother Denny, is victory, and a lot more victory, and not so many failures. And I know that's what we want. We all want it. And I just pray that God will help us to work all of this out in the Spirit. And as was shared, that if it's done in the flesh, it can have very devastating results. And so you pray with us. I thank you, Brother Denny, for sharing this. It's a timely message. And as we are focusing together to pray and fast together, to seek the Lord for direction for the fellowship, let us keep this forefront upon our hearts and pray that God will help us to obey Him in the Spirit. And however He wants to bring it about, I know it's something that will be a rich blessing to all of us and has been in some of our lives in the past. And we just desire for each one of you to be victorious in Christ and complete in Him in the fullness of God. So God bless you all. We love you. And thank you, Brother Denny, for sharing. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Also appreciated the opening message that to die, and I thought of Paul's testimony. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ. And he that will save his life will lose it. He that will lose his life, for my sake, Jesus said, he shall find it. Amen.
I'd just like to share something that God's been doing in my life, and I guess He's just been bringing me to the end of myself. And then Wednesday, a week ago, I got saved, and I guess I love to get up and have my quiet time in the morning. So please pray for me.
God bless you, Joshua. We want to pray for you. Amen. Lord, save our children too. While on others You are calling, don't pass us by. Don't pass our children by. Someone else. You had to think, if we really want to get the mileage out of this, as we think about getting together with somebody and opening our heart up to somebody, we need to be careful that we don't just choose someone who's going to tell us nice things all the time and everything we like to hear. We have to be willing to go to somebody who knows, who loves the Lord and wants to lift up the truth of the Word of God, and who is faithful enough to bring a wound now and then. You know, it's not always going to feel good. We're not going to grow that way. If we're going to grow, we need to be able to receive some hard things, I believe. Things that we don't always like to hear back there.
I just wanted to add to what you just said, Malin. I was just talking with a brother this past week, and he reminded me what the word truth means. And it means nothing forgotten. You know, sometimes when we're sharing with each other, we say, well, I miss my quiet time. But don't forget all the other things. You know, nothing forgotten. That is the truth. And I need that as that was spoken to me. And I just thought I'd bring it up here and remind everyone that, you know, like you said, to get the most mileage out of this, let's go all the way.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George. Okay, someone else? If not, we're going to have another song.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.